Welcome to the Digital Joe Podcast, where you'll learn tips, tricks, and strategies to grow your local business using social media and digital marketing. Let's get into it. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Digital Joe Podcast, the show for business owners that want to grow their business with social media and digital marketing. I'm your host, Joe Amato. Thanks so much for joining me for episode number 11. We've got a special guest for episode number 11. This week is all about websites. And the main question that we try to answer in this episode is, are websites dead? My guest on the show is Charlie Graham. He's the president and CEO of Volume 8 Creative, a very prestigious web design firm here in the Hudson Valley area. And he is going to be answering my questions on websites, whether websites are still relevant, things that you should have in your website if you have one, or if you're thinking about building a new one or reinventing what you currently have, and what sorts of things your website should try to accomplish. It's a great interview. I hope you enjoy it and get a lot of value out of it. But before we get into it, this show is brought to you by Vivo Creative. It is my own digital and social media agency. And if you need help with social media or digital marketing, hit us up at vivocreative.net. We'd be happy to talk to you and help any way that we can. Let's get into the interview with Charlie Graham. All right, guys, welcome back to the Digital Joe Podcast. My guest today is the president owner of Volume 8 Creative in the Hudson Valley, New York area, Charlie Graham. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Joe, for having me.
Yeah, thanks so much for coming on. Really appreciate it. Charlie is my expert in everything websites. And today we're going to be talking about websites. Surprise, surprise. We're going to get into a little bit of conversation about why it's important for businesses to have a website. Are websites even important at all? Certain things that your website, if you have one, should try to accomplish, and some things that you should keep in mind for having a website and building one if you're building a new one. But before we get into all that, Charlie, tell me, you know, a little bit about who you are and what does Volume 8 do?
Sure. So, I'm pretty much, I've been a creator my whole life, and started out in music, did a lot of photography, published writing, and eventually ended up in the design and interactive design UI UX fields. And, I started Volume 8 about 6 years ago to fill a need and to really just kind of bring forward modern websites, because 6 years ago there were even less modern websites than there are today. And when we started Volume 8, we were focused primarily on responsive websites. And responsive became a thing in, I would say, about 2011 to 2013. And all that really means is that, you know, you code your website once and it adapts to every different device that a user might access it from. And so we became, leaders in responsive web design. And we started pushing that and raising awareness, letting people know what that means and how to do it. And we just started growing from there. And websites have been kind of our bread and butter, definitely the strongest part of our wheelhouse. And, we love approaching websites from a fresh lens. So meaning that every client, every website that we build, it's like a whole new canvas to paint on. We don't really reuse everything that we've done in the past, which I think is really good for both small, mid-size, and large businesses alike. And that's kind of been our approach since we started, and it's done well for us.
What sorts of clients do you guys work with?
It runs the gamut from larger clients, nonprofits, small, medium-sized businesses, and then your mom-and-pop brick-and-mortar shop down the street. It seems that we've kind of settled into a zone where, websites cost between, $10,000 to $20,000 starting out, which might seem like a lot for most people that run smaller businesses. But, you have to think of a website as a house. $20,000 for a house isn't too bad. And it really is. I mean, it's like your digital house. It's open 24/7, et cetera. So it is really important to every business, which I think preludes into one of your questions. But I won't steal your thunder, Joe.
No, that's okay. That's all right. We're definitely jumping into that. So I guess like the question that I have to ask, and I have to ask this because I hear it pretty frequently. The question is, are websites dead? And the reason why I ask that is because a lot of business owners will say, I don't really need a website. I haven't updated my website. I use Facebook. I use Instagram. Are websites dead?
Yeah, great question. And I would answer with, I think they're more alive than ever. You know, maybe the old HTML static website that you would see back in 1999 is dead. but websites have taken on a whole new meaning, a whole new life. A lot of the sites that we build have custom code that integrates with some operational facet of the business. So we're custom building solutions on the web that really help businesses scale or get a better oversight on different operational functions. And, you know, if you're in e-commerce, they're pivotal to your business. They provide a lot of analytics, which is insight into who your customers actually are. So you can stop making so many assumptions. And they really, they provide a really good grounds for thought leadership. So a lot of people I meet, they're just amazing at what they do, but they don't really get that information out there. And the really nice thing about a website is that you control the narrative. So you could post a blog on Medium or you could post articles on LinkedIn, but when you post them on your website and they're optimized, you're not only controlling the narrative, but you're sharing thought leadership that can permeate the entire web. And that's really, you know, three big things is, again, scalable, customizable, you control the narrative. And the last is they're open 24/7. So if you need to position and craft the narrative for your website to sell, that's a 24/7 salesperson.
So that kind of leads me into another question, kind of off script here a little bit, but people I think are used to their website being a digital brochure, and you call it a digital house. What's the difference?
Yeah, well, a digital brochure, it's funny, when websites first started getting made, they were really, really simple HTML, just kind of heading formatted. There wasn't a lot of functionality. There was no animation really. And then what people wanted to do was start making websites look more like printed materials. And then they started to expand into like skeuomorphic websites, which would emulate physical domains like a bookshelf or a sheet of paper or doodles on a sheet of paper. And so that digital brochure idea is long gone. You know, that printed, let me emulate what I'm printing and make that look like my website, or let my website look like that, is long gone. And really what it is today is a place that accepts traffic from a variety of devices. When you think of a house, right, it's like you could build a really extravagant house, but if it's in the middle of the woods and there's no road going to it and nobody knows it's there, then it's useless. And, you know, a lot of websites today end up like that. Really, the idea is that the website, your digital house, is connected with many different through roads. Maybe it's got a helipad in the back, and there's just so many ways to access it. And you build this amazing house that people want to explore and get to know. And then you connect with someone like yourself to market that, to start to invite people to, I don't know, quote unquote, throw house parties, to bring people to your domain. And it's really, it's a house that ends up being more like a museum or an art studio that people can just tour and explore and learn more about your company. And that house is always there and it's always open. And you can build any kind of house you want. You could build a trailer. You could build, you know, a McMansion. You could build a righteous mansion, or you could just build a modular home. You know, these are the different budgets and scopes of websites. But no matter what you're doing, when you look at it from the lens of, hey, I'm going to build a house, but it's my digital house on the web, it makes a lot of sense and it puts it into perspective.
So what should a website really accomplish then? I mean, and that's a tough question, I think. Let me break it down a little bit. I mean, when you're e-commerce, in other words, selling products and services online, it's designed to sell. But for a lot of businesses that are not selling online, which is primarily, you know, who we deal with, honestly, a lot of the time, Charlie, what should their website accomplish? Because going back to the brochure thing, it's just a pamphlet of information and it's doing virtually nothing for them. What should a website for, you know, a local business that's not e-commerce really try to accomplish for that business?
Yeah, well, I mean, this is where we can do so much that I try to incite people to think bigger. Think outside of just a digital brochure. There's so much that can be done. And I think that one of the biggest things, I can't stress this enough, is just narrative. You control the narrative on your website. So if you really dive into it, you can shift the narrative, tell a story, you know, inspire people or excite them to come back, get them excited about your culture, about your how you differentiate, the specific things that make your business and not your competitors. You know, needless to say, most of your competitors will be on the web. So when you don't have a website, you're starting with a disadvantage, you know, so that's kind of like the default. But from there, you know, anything is possible, really is. You can use video to tell your story. You can really differentiate in that way. You can build custom features into your website that help you onboard customers or potential leads. You can pre-qualify. You can offer tools that you know, you can't offer in print material, calculators and the like. Mm-hmm. There's every business is going to be a different use case. And that's why when we approach a website, the first thing we do is we sit down and we really get to know the business. We get to know the story. We get to know the differentiators, the key performance indicators. And we dive into that and we try to think about how we can take all of that, amalgamate it into a solution, not just a digital brochure, but a solution that's going to help that business either operate more efficiently, tell their story more effectively, or just convert easier. There's just so much that websites can do today, and it's tough to kind of run through it all.
Of course. Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, look, especially when you're working with an experienced coder and front end and back end developer, you know, kind of like what Volume 8 does, I'm sure the possibilities are endless. So really trying to understand the customer is super important. But at the end of the day, like if I'm a business owner, if I'm a small to mid-sized business owner, Charlie, what should be for me the most important piece of a site? Like to me, I think it should be generating customers, generating interest, building leads, building new relationships with customers. And I feel like a lot of websites really fall short of that. Going to the back to the brochure thing, it's a sales tool. It's something to entice customers to try to do business with you. Am I correct in that kind of assumption?
Yeah, but again, I'm going back to narrative. I think we underestimate the power of story. And it's banal. It's like how humans first started communicating was around a fire, drawing pictures on a cave wall, telling stories. And that permeates good websites across the internet today. And you have that power to control the narrative, to tell a story. Now, how let's put that into context, right? So if I'm a small, medium-sized business and I've made a customer feel really good and I capture that story and I create a case study, I can now put that case study on my website so that people can explore that and I can start to build trust with complete strangers 24/7. And I can start to show them how doing business with us is better than doing business with you know, a competitor down the street. And by controlling that narrative, and by keeping that narrative consistent across all my social channels, bringing everything back to my website, I've created a really strong foundation and my own little web on the web. And that, I can't stress how important and how powerful that can become. Doing testimonials, doing case studies, telling a compelling about, focusing on the most important things that my business has to offer, and putting them on my website in such a way that they're very natural and organic for people to read, and crafting them in a way that appeals to my target demographic. You can only do that with a website.
Yeah, very good point. How you touched on it a couple minutes ago, but how important is blogging today? I mean, when Google first came out, you can blog something with and just spam the hell out of a keyword, Charlie, and it would show up on page one. And now everybody is kind of, I feel like, almost dialed back on blogging, but I feel like it's also still very important. Is that true?
Yeah, but I wouldn't call it blogging. anymore. You know, I would call it just thought leadership and drafting content with meaning and putting that content in your website, which then helps you rank in Google, Yahoo, Bing, and any other search engine, because you're not stuffing it with keywords and triggers. That just doesn't work anymore. Mm-hmm. What you're doing is you're creating human readable content that has value, not machine readable content that has no value. And when you do that and you really just craft it well and write about a topic that you know and you excel in, and you share that content and it has value for other people, real people, then that content starts to surface in the search engines organically. And it just becomes another, going back to the house analogy, another trail or small path to your house.
So it's more about delivering value than, so I love what you said about being human reading as opposed to machine reading. And that's super important. I think we get so hung up on, what do we have to do to rank on page one of Google? What do we have to do to make this page, you know, super optimized for this or that? But really, it comes down to the human that's actually going to read it and act on it. And that's often right. often overlooked. That's a really great right. point.
And just to elaborate on that point further, you know, we started by just building a list of keywords, and you know, Google's algorithm, actually the meta description on a page would have those keywords, and Google's algorithm would rank based on those keywords. They deprecated that a long time ago because competitors would go to competing websites and just steal all the keywords, and it just became this convoluted loop that got no one anywhere. And then people would go to those websites and the content would just be terrible. And so today in Google's algorithm and a lot of other algorithms, you're seeing that they're actually basing it on context, not content. And when they're getting traffic that's valuable, meaning people are going to that page and actually reading the content, spending time on the page, not just leaving right away, then it's going to rank higher. And the thing about this is you want to write for humans. You want to appeal to a person who ends up on that page and digests that content. And that's, you know, business owners have so much value because they have wealth of experience and experiences that are specific to them. And when they share that, I think they're going to start to see a difference on their website. And if I could just share a use case.
Sure.
So we do ADA website compliance remediation. That's a mouthful. But essentially, websites are public places, and they need to be accessible to screen readers and other adaptive devices and assistive devices that help people with disabilities access the content. And so we've been doing that for several years. We've certified developers, and we started writing about that. We started building out a section of our website intended for ADA. But we wrote it as if we were writing specifically for our target demographic. And what happened after that was magical. We built a bunch of content. We posted it. We didn't optimize. We didn't market it. We didn't go PPC or any of that. And we ended up number one on Google organically for specific keywords like what is the cost of an ADA compliant website. And we started getting leads and we started getting more business, and we got business across the country just from writing this content, putting it on our website from the lens of, hey, we're experts in this and here's what we can share with you. And that's really all it takes. Like, you know, PPC, AdWords, social media advertising is the accelerant for good content. But good content is the foundation for that traffic.
That's a great point. We say that all the time, especially when we're working on a creative project for a client, whether it's a video or an ad campaign or something like that. I don't care how many people reach it. If it's got to be good.
Yeah.
You know, it still has to be quality. It still has to be value. One of the reasons why I started this show, Charlie, was to just deliver constant value when it comes to marketing and advertising, because I feel like there's kind of a lull there, especially in the local market. You know, I want to deliver really good content so that people will remember us and we become those thought leaders that you're talking about when it comes to creating content on a website.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, look, I'm a firm believer that everybody is amazing at least one thing. Share it. Put it out.
That's great.
And that's what your website's for. Going back to your original question, or website's dead. No, it's the only medium that you can do all of that on and own it.
You control that narrative. That's fantastic. Yeah. So story really is huge. And I think, you know, maybe another word for story, maybe not another word, but just kind of another way to look at it is through content, telling that story through content, whether it's writing thought leadership articles or videos or whatever it might be, or just about sections on your site, whatever it might be. You've got the opportunity to use your expertise to tell your story, to resonate with your potential customer. And you could do all of this through a kick-ass website.
100%. And so video, going back to those 1999 digital brochures, video wasn't even a thought. Today, video is probably one of the most important features of a website, because you go to that homepage and you're greeted with moving images. If a picture tells 1,000 words, video tells millions. And you have the capability on a website to greet people with these moving images and to capture them immediately and tell that story so that your first impression is lasting. And that invites them into deeper parts of the house, other hidden rooms that they didn't know existed that have even more value specific to that visitor.
That's great. That's great. That kind of leads me into my next question here is, so if I'm a business owner that has a website, or maybe I don't, I know there are quite a few websites out there that are pretty bad. Can you just list off some key elements to a modern website that should be there for a local small to mid-sized business's website? What are some of the key things that need to be there for that website to accomplish what we're talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. First, I think from the technical end, I would say 100% has to be responsive. If people have to scroll or pinch to zoom, like scroll left or right or pinch to zoom on their mobile phone to access content on your site, you're a dinosaur. Sorry to put it like that, but you know, people, the expectations of the everyday visitor of websites is not going to stand for that. They'll leave the site immediately. Two is performant. It's got to load fast. If it takes 6 seconds to 8 seconds to 10 seconds to load your homepage on a mobile, people are gone. They don't have the attention span. So performance, responsive. I think from the technical side, those are probably the two most important things. Obviously, security is going to be important, but that doesn't affect the consumer so much as it does your business. Aside from that, content-wise, tell a story. Have really good written content, not too much. You don't want a wall of text. Have good imagery, whether it be video or images. And you know, have a call to action that is there and permeates the site, but doesn't jump out at you like a pop-up. Pop-ups, I think, are a plague on websites. It's like it interrupts somebody reading content to spam something in their face, and it really degrades the customer's experience. When you craft a website, one of the most important things to think about is that user experience, the user that's visiting the website, the customer. What is their experience? Don't force something on them. Try to organically craft an experience that guides them through the site to a specific action. And just approach how you craft your information architecture, which is your site map, your main navigation. Make sure that it's logical in how people access the content on the site, and give them a very natural path to get through the house.
That's great. Can you elaborate a little bit for me on the call to action? Because I feel, at least from what I see on a day-to-day basis, and Charlie, I'm sure you probably see this too, websites don't often have a very clear call to action. Can you just give a couple of examples of calls to action, whether it's, you know, contact forms or buy now buttons or whatever it might be?
Yeah. I want to continue on this house analogy. So to me, like, there's a hearth to every house, whether it be like the fireplace or maybe the kitchen, dining room table. And it's like all roads kind of lead, all rooms kind of lead to this central meeting area. And in that, with that analogy, there's got to be some action. What makes the website most valuable is that it's converting visitors into some kind of sales or some kind of action, whether it be to sign up on a newsletter or to purchase some product or to call for an appointment. And those things, while they shouldn't be screaming at you, I feel like every web page, every piece of content should push toward a specific call to action. And I know I'm speaking very abstractly about this, but it's because everybody's call to action is different and everybody's path is different. And it takes a blueprint. It takes an architectural approach to craft that. But you need to know your main call to actions. What are the things that matter? To us, it would be, you know, people calling or contacting us to inquire about a website. And it's as simple as that. For e-commerce, it's add this product to your cart, now check out. And so for each business, you have to define what that is.
That's great. Yeah. But again, it's super important to have that call to action. I mean, I think without that call to action, it's virtually worthless. I mean, if people are learning and loving your story but have no idea how to take the next step because you're not being clear on how to do that, you're essentially wasting it, aren't you?
Yeah, and also defining what that next step is. Like, every business does something that most of the customers don't know they do. Swallow that for a moment. And then think about a website with all these different rooms and doors and spaces. Every different room could be pitching something different, some different aspect of what your business does. And so it doesn't mean that they're all leading to the exact same call to action. It could mean that every single page or area of your website leads to a different call to action. And I'll use our business as an example. Like, we do website audits for ADA. That's one call to action. We do support and maintenance for websites. It's another call to action. We do branding. That's another call to action. We build simple websites. We build extravagant websites. Another call to action. We do application architecture. We build custom applications for businesses to solve operational challenges. A whole another call to action.
Right.
So again, the website is the only place where you can really build that thing out.
And accomplish all of those things.
Exactly. And appeal to all of those people in one house, in one foundation.
That's fantastic. I think this is like a super value-packed conversation, Charlie. I'm loving it. Is there anything else that you want to add? Any kind of advice that you can give to, you know, not necessarily a potential customer, but or just business owners in general that know they might have to touch their website, or they haven't touched it in a long time, or just flat out don't have one because they think, you know, they have a Facebook page and that's all they really need. What's your biggest piece of advice for people like that?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is that you don't know what you're missing until you have it. And when you don't have it, when you're ignoring your website, or, you know, oh, I've got a website, that's all I need to do, you meet the prerequisite of having a website, it doesn't mean you really have a functional, efficient, effective website. And there's a stark difference between having a website and having one that's actually doing something for you. So just because you have one doesn't mean you really have one.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. And so I would implore business owners of all different sizes to just think, based on this conversation that you and I have had, of all the different things that website could do for you, and call a professional and, talk to them about what it would cost, how long it would take, exactly what you're going to get. You know, the websites we've built websites 7 years ago that have won awards, that did firsts on the web, like they were cutting edge, innovative. And 7 years later, we have not changed a bit of the design and barely changed any of the code. We've supported it. We've kept it updated and secure. And it is still, to this day, innovative. So, you know, a lot of people think that, oh, I'm going to build a website, I'm going to have to build another website 2-3 years later, 5 years later. It's not true. If you approach it as, you know, this is my house. This is my forever house. This is the house that I want to live in for until I grow old and retire and my grandkids take it over. You right. can approach a website the same way today, and it can do so much for you. So stop putting it off because you either A, have a website, even though it's not really doing anything for you, or B, you have this preconceived notion that you're going to build it and you're going to have to rebuild it again 2 years later. You can almost amortize the cost of a website over 10 years plus. And that's what a good website can do for you. So I would implore you to start thinking about how something like that could impact your business positively. And then find a professional to talk about it, discuss it, build a strategy.
Awesome. Charlie Graham from Volume 8 Creative here. Charlie, how can people get a hold of you if they want you to be their website professional that you're talking about?
Sure. So you can reach us at volume8.com, which is volume8.com. There's no E. And you can reach me directly at Charlie, Charlie, at volume8.com. Probably the easiest way. I have a phone, I have a number, but honestly, I'm checking my email more than my voicemail. So.
That's awesome. Well, Charlie, hey, thanks so much for joining me for this episode. This was a super value-packed conversation. I really appreciate your time. I'm sure the listeners will as well. And if you really, if you have any questions regarding your website or a possible website build, you got to go to Charlie. That's who we go to, and that's who you should too. Charlie, thanks so much for coming on, and hey, maybe we'll do this again sometime soon.
Yeah, it's awesome. Thanks for having me, Joe. And I would love to hear feedback. So if your listeners can even just reach out and let us know if this was valuable to you.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it doesn't have to turn into business. Just, you know, we took our time and energy to do this for you. Hopefully some of the content was valuable. Let us know. That would make me feel good about having done this, and I'm sure Joe as well.
Absolutely. Well, Charlie, thanks again, and I will talk to you soon.
You got it, Joe. Bye. Cheers.
All right, guys, that was Charlie Graham, president of Volume 8 Creative. Hey, listen, I do hope you got a lot of value out of that interview. I actually learned some things, and I'm going to go look at my website and completely redo it after talking to Charlie, but that's okay. That's what we want. We want to improve. We want to constantly be improving our businesses, and we want to make sure that we're doing right on the web. We want to make sure that we make it easy for customers to find us and to get a hold of us, and look, at the end of the day, we all want to generate more sales, and having a great website is pivotal in being able to grow your business and generate more sales. Like I said, if you have any questions or follow up, please visit my website, vivocreative.net. We'd be happy to help you with anything related to digital marketing or social media. And make sure to check out Charlie Graham and Volume 8 Creative. That's volume without the E, the number 8.com. Guys, we'll be back next week for some more digital marketing content. But until then, I'll see you soon.